This recording begins with the current version of the shir, continues on with a quick review of the shir, and then moves on to the last cycle of the Daf Yomi for the previous version of the shir, which of course has different people involved, a different ambience. You may want to hear both of them and use the second one as a chazar. You may actually prefer the previous cycle to this one's. Today's Daf is Mesechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Vov, and we've just begun the very, very global sugya of Bittul. And many, many of the inyanim of Bittul, Nogeh Halacha L'maaseh, come from the discussion in the following days to come. So we just began yesterday the question of wine that falls on top of grapes. We had wine on top of chitim. We read through the Mishnah and it said it was osir, and it mentioned the idea of noting tam lev gam, but it wasn't clear about the nature of the level of the isser. Was it b'mashu when it was the wine mixed with the wine, with the grapes, or was it also like the wine that was mixed with the tamarim or the teinim? That isn't clear. And that's what we need to get to today. What is the din of bittul in mixtures, in general? So it begins the Gemara with some simple yisodot. Chamra atika be'inve. Suppose now we are mixing the case of the Mishnah, let's say, for instance, we would have understood, now we're talking about outside the Mishnah, we would have understood perhaps a case where old wine falls over anavim. Now, old wine really doesn't taste anymore like anavim. Grape juice tastes like anavim. Old wine has its own special taste. So over there, everybody agrees that the shiur is no tein ta'am, because there it's considered to be a min b'sheino mino, where it's nicker, and we're able to go according to echad b'shishim, or where we don't have the ability to taste. We made that a general one out of 60. And that's always called the tam not being nicker if it's less than that. But how about if it's grape juice? Chamra charata be'inve. So now you've got the case in our Mishnah, maybe bin yayin nesach. Is that considered to be two different things, or is it considered to be the same taste? So Abaye Omar b'mashu and Rava Omar b'notin tam. Abaye says that the shear over there is one in any amount. Why? Because it's min b'mino. So min b'mino is in bottle. And Rava says, no, it's considered to be two different things, even though it may taste the same. And the rule about tasting the same is we go according to what would be if we could detect the taste. And what that would be was 1 in 60 was the shear of the Chachamim. And therefore, when we use the words benotin tam in cases like this, we mean by definition that it was more than echad b'shishim. So Abaye Amar b'mashu, he holds that what comes to define the nature of the iser in min b'mino is the taste. I mean, if it's not detectable, so then it's a simple svara to say that min b'mino is asur, because there's no way, as the Ran puts it, there's no, as famous Ran, there's no way to talk about bittul when something simply strengthens another thing. Why would one cancel another thing when it's actually just adding to the power of the taste? I mean, we're all the same here. So pouring grape juice on wine enhances the grapey taste of the grapes. Why in the world would it be bottled? There's nothing to make it disappear. On the contrary, so any little bit is still always going to be there by definition. And we'll see whether that holds up across the board in a moment. So therefore, says Abaye, if it tastes the same, so then it's obviously min b'mino, havila min b'mino, and the din is that min b'mino is b'mashu. Whereas Rava says, no, actually, even though it tastes the same, it's b'notin tam. Because 1 out of 60, in this case, we follow because batashma azlina. We go according to what the thing is called. And basically, these are two different things. And this is called wine, and this is called grape. Haishma lechud, vaishma lechud. This has one name, this has another name. Therefore, it's min b'she'en omino. And min b'she'en omino, the rule is that min b'she'en omino goes benotin tam.
Liquid and solid?
It makes a difference. Wine and grapes do not have the same name. Okay, now, this is just really the tip of an iceberg in what is going on over here. The main machlokas, which is a machlokas later on, we're going to have Gemara between Rav and Shmuel on the one hand, and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish on the other hand, which becomes a machlokas, a poskim, Rashi poskening like the Rav and Shmuel, the Rabbeinu Tam poskening, and the Shulchan Aruch following in that way, the Rabbeinu Tam poskening, like Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, have two very different approaches. What is the D'oraita? Let's first decide what the din should be in the Torah. So one of the principles that this revolves around is the question of Tam Ke'ikr. How do we understand the sugya elsewhere of the question of the taste of a thing as opposed to the actual physical presence of the thing? Does that mean, when we say that it's Tam Ke'ikr is Osir, does that mean it's Osir Midoraita or that it's Osir Midrabbanan? And that is a major question. If Tam Ke'ikr is Osir Midoraita, then Rov is no longer important. Because normally we say Rov defines the presence of a thing. Okay, so therefore it would be Bata Barov. Two things which are the same, and I can't detect one against the other. One is Osir, one is Mutter. But then as you go according to the Rov. But how about if you can detect the difference in the taste? If you can detect the difference in the taste, and the Torah views that detectability, even though it's only of taste, as being relevant, and it's considered to be here, so then you can have to forget about the Rov. Forget about the Rov. So now we've got a problem of Echad B'Shishim essentially being the way in which the Chachomim or Meshayer, a D'oraita problem, not a D'rabbanan problem. And then the question would be how we would understand the nature of min b'mino, where the taste is here somewhere, and therefore it's being mechuzak l'chora, according to the Ran. So it would be osir b'mashu, because it is in bato barov. If you learn the other way, all things are bato barov. Min tam ki'ikr is a dirabonan chumra. And they said that even though, because normally, you'll note that the Rabbanan asserted every place where something would be bato barov, where it's clearly detectable. So in other words, if you have a mechametz, you have something which is a leavening agent. You have something which is an emulsifier. You have something which is a special ingredient for taste. Those things are never bato. Why they never bottle? No matter, because they're always detectable. I can tell the emulsifier in the results. So I can see if there's gelatin here by the fact that the thing is gelled. I can tell that the sourdough is here because I see that the thing is leavened, and so on and so forth. Same thing would be true of a gezeira derabbanan that min b'she'eino mino is actually something that is detectable. So therefore the Rabbanan goes there to say, look, it's true, Midoraita, it doesn't have any presence, but we will be gozer because of its presence. Now the case that we have over here is essentially based on the sugya as it's going to be developing all along. When we're talking about tam, the first thing we need to discuss is the concept of tam ki'ikr, in which we understand that when something is not present, nonetheless its taste is considered to be meaningful, as if it's present, perhaps. Now, there we have a machloket. Rashi holds that the din of tam ke'ikr is actually not a d'oraita. In other words, minat Torah, if Isser falls into heter, the whole thing is batal barov, and it's the Rabbonin who goes there that it's considered to be tam, and that it's really going to be Midoraita bottle. And when it would come to any suffix, of course, therefore, we would be Mekel. The Rabbeinu Tam holds that Tam Ki'ikr is actually Osir Min HaTorah. Now, later on, there's a Machloket between the Amoraim and the Gemara. We're going to get to there reasonably soon. And there's also Halacha, Lamaisa, and Hadapaskin, about what we mean when we talk about min b'mino b'mashu. Now, Rav and Shmuel on the one hand hold all Yisurim Shabbat Torah, min b'mino zos remasho. Rashi paskins like that. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish holds that the din of min b'mino b'masho is limited to yayin netzach. There's also another place, which is the din of tevel. We're over there. The entire thing is based on having some of the same produce belong to the Kohen or the Levi inside, and therefore we have special halachas about the din of tevel. See, it turns out, according to Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, who hold that the din is limited to avodah zarah, yayin netzach, that is, and other isurim, the din of min b'mino, is that it's only going to be like no Saint Tom, and it's exactly the same as min b'sheino mino. Of course, what that means is that it's echad b'shishim, because you can't really taste it anyway. But in any event, the difference would be that according to Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, min b'mino, minayraita is b'chalal not osir, because if there's rov, obviously, because it's a rov, and the Torah said achrei rabim la'tot, we have no way of noting that iser is present, because it doesn't advance any taste, and therefore we don't care about it. So that the truth is, according to them, it's only min b'she'eno mino. Where over there is a way of detecting it, where we say tam is ke'ikr, and that tam is here detectable. So because of that, as long as I can still detect the tam, I don't look at the bitul berov. Whereas the only thing is that the chachomim said, look, since if it's min b'she'eno mino, there's a problem. So the chachamim were goes are also on min b'mino, that there should be the same problem as there would be in min b'she'eno mino. But of course, it would be the same extent, which was 1 in 60. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam paskins indeed like that, like Rabbi Yochanan, and like Rish Lakish, and most Rishonim, including even the Pesach Halacha Lamaisa in terms of the Shulchan Aruch, ends up being like the Rabbeinu Tam. So, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, really, the only time that we have to worry about something not being Batal Barov is where there's Tam Ke'ikr, that is Osir Min HaTeira, and there's also a Gezerah in a case where there is no Tam, which is in the case of Min B'minai, that over there, we're going to treat it the same way. But of course, it's a function of time. The place in which we're more machmir is only Benogea, that special gezeira of this sugya over here, only when it comes to Avodah Zarah and to Tevel. But in anything else, we would not treat Min B'mino more chomer than Min B'sheino Mino, because on the contrary, Min B'mino is only a gezeira, an offshoot of the real problem of min b'she'eno mino, which is detectable. Now, this issue over here seems, I mean, the way that we read it on the surface, it seems to be ignoring Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish here, that min b'mino min haTorah is not osir at all, and it seems to be also ignoring the Pesach of the Rabbeinu Tam, who holds like that, because here it's saying that when it comes to min b'mino, we're going to be more machmir than we would on min b'sheino mino, which certainly does not seem to make any sense at all, since the ikar problem is only min b'sheino mino. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Tam, min b'sheino mino, of course, is going to be more chomer, because min b'mino is only an issur d'rabbanan to avoid getting into the problems of min b'sheino mino. So he's going to have to deal with this sugya as being a specific difference because of the context of the issues involved here, which we'll talk about in a moment. Now, the machlokis that we have over here of Abaye of Rava, which is, okay, what is surim? What type of things are called min b'mino? What type of things are called min b'she'eno mino? Now, l'chora, the underlying that machlokis of Abaye of Rava is the idea of according to Rashi, that everything min b'mino in all Isurim, and that approach of Rashi is the discussion here in Abaye Varava on all Isurim, because according to Rashi, remember, the whole idea of Rov is true both on Min B'mino and Min B'sheino Mino, and therefore it does not begin with the problem in B'sheino Mino. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, who holds that there's absolutely no basis for us to make any distinction between Min B'mino and Min B'sheino Mino, he would have to understand that the Machlokas of Abaye Varava is dealing dafka with the Yayin Netzach and Tevel. There's the only place where we have this special chumrah of min v'min of mashu. Now, of course, the question is, it isn't clear according to Rabbeinu Tam, and indeed we paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam, as we mentioned, in the Shulchan Aruch, if the machlokas over here between Rav and Abaye about Yayin Esech is because it's the only place that is nogea this particular sugya, but Abaye v'Rava in general are chaylik always what's considered to be min b'mino, what's considered to be min b'she'eino mino, or it's the same to describe min b'mino, min b'she'eino mino across the board. Since we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rabbeinu Tam, that would mean that the important difference is that when it comes to min b'mino, even min b'mino is only in this Drabbanan, the Nosi Tam is a gezeira, and it's a gezeira basically because of min b'she'eino mino. Now, the only nafka mino la'aloch in this psak would be that min b'mino would be always nugia, a drabbanan. Min b'she'eino mino, if it would be less than shishim, it would actually be osur midoraita. Now that becomes a serious difference, because obviously we're going to be machmir according to the Rabbeinu Tam, where there's min b'she'eino mino, there's a real din of no same tam, there we'd have to be machmir zechur midoraita. So according to Rashi, whether it's min b'mino or min b'she'eino mino, it's always going to only be osur midorabbanan. Now, what's interesting is that the Ramah actually ends up paskaling like Rava. And that is, min b'mino does not define by its taste, it's defined by what it's called. And this raises some serious issues. In other words, what the Ramah clearly holds is, and he says this in all Yisurim Shabbat Torah, is that Abaye v'Rava are arguing in Kol Yisurim Shabbat Torah. Because, I mean, this whole din in the Shulchan Aruch is a reference to all Yisurim. The problem now is, as the Shach points out, that there's a contradiction in this Pesach. Because if the only difference, in these Pesachim like the Rabbeinu Tam, between Min B'mino and Min B'she'eino Mino, is that since Tam Ke'ikar is Dioraita, and therefore it's a problem with the Min B'mino, where over there you can actually taste it, and the heter now has iser in it, and therefore is aser itself. Washenke, when it comes to min b'mino, you can't detect it at all, and we're only asering it because of the din of shishim, that it should be similar. But then, if that's the case, how in the world, if the entire basis of the issue is dependent on the taste, because that's the only reason there's a difference between min b'mino, min b'she'eino mino, the question of whether there's detectable noting tam, so how in the world could we possibly suggest, the way Rava is suggesting, that the difference between min b'mino, min v'she'eino is not a function of taste, but is a function of some strange thing that is called shame, whatever it is that we call it. And this is actually astonishing. In other words, if Rava holds that we're koveh according to the shame, then I mean, it's clear that we're dealing with something else entirely, because the pashtus of min b'mino is, as the Ran explains in the Doran, that the idea of bito is where one thing makes another thing weaker until the time in which it's no longer meaningfully there. Mashenka, when it comes to min b'mino, since it's the same taste, how can it possibly make it weaker? The same taste, on the contrary, makes it more noticeable, makes it stronger. So it makes absolutely no sense to look at it in that way. There's got to be some other reason, some other svara, to make a difference between mino, 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 if there's no difference in terms of the taste. And that, of course, is clearly what's going on over here in this contradiction in the Ramah. It's a general question. How could we, in Rava, provide some type of underlying logic to why min b'mino, min b'she'eino mino, where the only problem that concerns us is taste, why would it be dependent in the question of what it's called? And it's because of this that the Shach indeed argues on the Ramah. He says, 100%, as far as determining where we have a Sefek Derabbanan and where we have a Sefek Dioraita, nobody would have said, the Rava would never have said we go according to the shame. How could the Ramah think that that would be Nogea, what's Derabbanan, what's Dioraita, where the only criterion, that is nogea, the Dioraita, is tam. And therefore, the Rama is making a mistake in thinking that the machlokas of Abaye v'Rava is nogea the question of the chumra suffik deraita, the chumra suffik rabban lakula. That cannot be the question. Furthermore, it's impossible to say that therefore the machlokas of the sugya is nogea all isurim in the Torah, where the din is v'shishim, that that's going to be defined by the name and not by the taste. The din of shishim is the din of tam, and therefore it makes absolutely no sense. He understands the machlokas of Abaye v'Rava is only benogea the din of yayin nesach and tevel, and over there everybody holds that there is indeed a chumrah of min b'mino, that the thing remains always there. And in that, indeed, the way to define it is that it has to do with the way in which the iser, that's because the Torah is makbid, that the iser should be b'mashu, in which a mashu certainly has nothing to do with tam. So the very fact that min b'mino is b'mashu proves that this has nothing to do with tam. And it's because of that that Rava says if it has nothing to do with tam, which certainly would never be detectable in a mashu, there's got to be some other issue. And that is that the thing is still here because this is wine and this is wine and that's what counts. So how could the wine not be here in the midst of all the other wine? Whereas Abaye is apparently saying, look, even though that may be true, but since overall in the issue of kashrus bittul, the important issue is the taste, so they continued to define it in terms of taste. Now, that certainly is not unreasonable. It's according to Rava that something just loses its identification when it's just swimming in a pool of something else where it's barely noticeable. That's all it's about. It has nothing to do with taste at all. Of course, that still leaves us with the problem that if you hold that min b'she'eno mino b'shishim, which shishim is clearly, in the dinner nice and tam, is clearly a function of taste, how could you possibly define that in terms of what it's called rather than in terms of its taste? That is definitely very, very strange. Unless we're ready to bite the bullet and agree, as indeed there are poskim who say, that Abaye v'Rava were only arguing about how to define min b'mino, not how to define the din of bittul in nois and tam of min b'she'eino mino. And even though, according to Rava, something which has a similar tam, let's say the case of the yayin karata binve that we have over here, is called min b'she'eino mino because it has two different names, grape and wine, that's not because they're considered to be the equivalent of shnei ta'amim. It's because over here that when it comes to the two names, they're not min b'mino. Since they're not min b'mino, so there's no din of mashu. That's all that he's saying. And memela, we're left with the other thing, which is the one in the 60. In which case, Rava was never saying it's really min b'she'eino mino. He's just saying it boils down to the same din as min b'she'eino mino. Now, that's certainly a possibility. And as we go on, we're going to take a look and see what other things we could understand here with these various shitas. And we haven't even begun. This is just really the first tip of our concern. Boom. And here is one of the most central places in all of Shas where we get to the underlying questions of these machlokas. Yes?
Min is defined by the name?
According to Rava.
The definition of min
is, according to Rava, the name. That's where we are right now. How that machlokas Abaye v'Rava bears upon the underlying question of what is the nature of tarovas? Is the ikar tarovas because of tam ke'ikar, vice versa? That's something that we'll need to see how these things tie in. But certainly on the surface, seems to be very fundamentally related. What's the makor of the problem? Okay, so in any event, the Gemara is taking all of this for granted. In other words, we're supposed to be reading this sugya, and we're reading it very naively, so we have no idea. It looks like, I don't know, from somewhere or other, it's a given that min b'mino is more chomer than min b'she'eino mino. And now, that's because the min, because the min b'she'eino mino can actually lose its tam. Hashem, the min b'mino is mechazik its tam, as the Ran explains. And then a minute later, without explaining how that could be, we find that it's possible that we define min bimino in terms of its technical name rather than how it tastes. Without having a clue as to why that would be true, then what would be the marker of the chumrah of min bimino if it has nothing to do with the svara of the taste? Okay, the Gemara doesn't tell us. So Abaya says b'mashu, Rava says b'nosin tam, Abaya amar b'mashu, because b'ata taima azlinan, since you go according to the taste, idi v'idi v'chad taimahu, both of them in this case having exactly the same taste, which is grape juice and wine, and grapes. So in that case, so havilei min bimino is aser b'mashu. Whereas Rava says, well, in this case it's b'notein tam, which of course is not detectable, but we have the theoretical notein tam. Notein tam is 1 out of 60. So that would be the shear. Because since in the definition of what is min bimino, you're going according to how it's defined and classified in your supermarket, so but shma azlina. And since over here, well, this one is called wine and this one is called grapes, Aishmalachud, then by definition it's a min b'sheinu mino. And the din of a min b'sheinu mino is a benotein tam. Of course, there is no notein tam because it tastes exactly the same, but that doesn't matter. There's a theoretical notein tam. Okay, how does that fit into our mish? Tonight. Now, the Mishnah does not qualify over here the what fell. Is it old wine, new wine? So that's irrelevant. Wine falls on anavi. And it says that it's aser. Now, it doesn't really quite say how much is aser in the third line of the Mishnah over there. All it says is vima yumufukot asurot. Afterwards, when it talks about falling onto enim or onto marim, then it talks about notein tam. And then at the very end of the Mishnah, where it says zaklal, it talks about again notein tam. So now, if we can assume again as naive readers that the Mishnah is talking about notein tam, and it refers to wine that falls on anavim, which Mechora would include Kasaka Daita Chamra Charata Be'inve. It's talking in the Mishnah as well about grape juice that falls on grapes. And, I mean, the assumption also, the naive assumption, is that the Mishnah is talking about Minotein Tam. Then it doesn't make any sense, because according to Abaye, this should be a Min Bimino, since they both taste exactly the same. And therefore, it should not be benotein tam. So, given that our assumptions would be right, Abaye would be in trouble in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, well, how do you know that the Mishnah, well, that's an awful quick leap that we're talking about benotein tam? Maybe the Mishnah is talking about b'mashu, and indeed it's usher because of the fact that it has the same tam. That's the whole idea. No, says the Gemara, I mean, the rest of the Mishnah revolves around notein tam. Why would the rest of the Mishnah revolve around notein tam if that's not the problem? So, doesn't the Mishnah continue on to say that, read it. Midiktoni Seifa, Zachal, Kol Sheba Na'aton Benotein Tam Asur, Kol She'ein Benahana'ato Benotein Tam Mutar. Does that make it clear that we're talking about notein tam? Now, does it? Not really. Because all that the last piece of the Mishnah seems to be referring to is notein tam livgam. Kosher b'hana'ato b'notein tam. That indeed became the excuse for the Maisa, Banzonin, and so on. That over there was notein tam livgam. So, I mean, is this really relevant? Maybe if it's notein tam livgam, so then that would be true whether it's min bimino or min b'sheino mino. Maybe the Torah of Nasaret. If it's notein tam livgam. Not because notein tam livgam is a subcategory of the concern for tam keikar, and we're not machmer on tam if it's not a good tam, but because maybe things that don't have a good tam are not considered to be yisr, if they're only tam. So now, that in truth is a machlokas rishoni. What is the issue of notein tam livgam? Is it that the Torah didn't aser that tam if it isn't ben? If that's the case, then what's the raya for the Mishnah that we're dealing with benotein tam? Or is it that if the whole issue is the taste, so then we're not going to be moksha of a taste that slows the time of kam because it isn't adding anything. Ah, but if we're not big moksha of the taste, we're talking about min bimino, so then there wouldn't be any issue in losing time of kam. Oh, you see. So there's two ways of understanding this gemara. The sharpest way, this is one of the Purushim and Tosfos, is that if indeed the issue were a question of min bimino, and that would be the way Abaye would want to learn it, and therefore it would be talking about b'mashu, what's the difference if it's not ten tam livgam? Mashu isn't concerned with the tam, it's concerned with the presence. If it's concerned with the presence, would it matter whether it's not ten tam livgam or not? Therefore, the very fact that we care about whether it's not ten tam livgam is a right that we're dealing with taima. Now you could see that that itself, of course, depends. If the issue of min bimino is, as the Ran says, because the taste is only a chizah, then indeed maybe even min bimino is a function of tam. So then if it's not a good tam, then it's not mechazik the taste. So it's not 100% persuasive svara, even if you buy into the relationship of notin tam livgam being a function of netinat tam. But that's one approach in Tosfos. The other approach, according to which the issue of notin tam livgam runs across the board, whether we're dealing with isurim that are dinim in taima, or isurim that are dinim b'mashu, the Torah didn't aser the presence of an isur that's not there be'en, where it's a pegima. If that's the case, then it doesn't seem to be any good raya from the Mishnah. Unless you say it's inappropriate to begin discussing the dinim of an otein tam v'gam, where nobody's even mentioned the concept of tam. So if the Mishnah is taking for granted that anybody reading this Mishnah is going to be thinking to himself about how things taste, so then that seems to imply that what we're talking about up until now is going according to the taste. So then it's a din in taima and only taima. So then don't try to tell me that the Reish that was talking about grapes that were now had the taste of wine that had fallen in them, don't try to tell me that that's not a function of the taste, and you're trying to claim that it's b'mashu, then why did we suddenly change the topic and discuss whether a taste, if it's l'banato v'notein tam, if you want to talk about the issue of notein tam livgam, all you should say is, not kol shebahanato b'notein tam. That's not the point. You should simply say kol sheyesh hanato b'taimo, or kol shepogim b'taimo, or something like that. The very phraseology makes it, you assume. See, we're talking about notein tam. Now that notein tam that you're worried about, was it libegam or was it l'sheva? You see, it's just the language according to this. That's the riot, not the din at all. Two very different approaches to the search. So now, in any event, Abaye has to accept the fact that indeed we're talking about notein tam. If according to Abaye, the din would be that it's actually a function of min bimino, because it's including grape juice, not only wine, so then he's got a serious problem with the Mishnah. According to Rava, the Mishnah makes perfectly good sense. Well, it will never be the min bimino. It's a different name. Says Abaye, okay, fine. If that's the case, then we'll have to limit the mission. The mission will have to be talking about where it's not min bimino. So the mission, when it says that wine falls over grapes, it is not referring to a case where that wine is grape juice. It means wine, old wine that tastes like wine, not grapes. So it's detectable, according to me, therefore, I agree, this is not a case of min bimino, and that's why the Mishnah goes off now to discuss notein tam. But enochinami, according to Rava, the Mishnah could be talking about anything. Now, to show how extensive this machloket would be, let us take a look and see that it could go in both directions. Which one would be machmer in one case where the other is mekel, one would be mekel where the other is machmer in an opposite case. So let's talk about a case we've got vinegar. Now, you've got vinegar, wine vinegar on the one hand, and let's say grain vinegar on the other. So you have challah, the chamra, and challah, the shichra. Or let's say you have a leavening agent. So you have a leavening agent that was built on sourdough of wheat and one that was sourdough of barley, let's say. So now, over here, assuming that one is usher and one is mutter, and one is truma, and one is chulin. So then it would go in opposite directions. A buyer would say, look, it's all a function of the taste. So in terms of the taste, wine vinegar has a very distinctive taste. Even though they're both called vinegar, you certainly would use wine vinegar for certain things and use grain vinegar for other things. The same thing is true of what exactly is the taste of the dough that you're using. So high time lechud, in which case it would be mean b'sheino mino would be batul b'shishim. But according to Rava, since both of them have the same name, vinegar, both of them have the same name, leavening agent, or sourdough, so then according to him it would be mamashu, it would be a big chumrah, because batashma azlinan ha-chalamikre. So here it's the opposite of the case where we had before, but according to Rava, since it has different names, the grape juice is called Chamra Chadata, and the grapes are called grapes, and never the twain shall meet. So according to him, we would go to Kula, because it would be Min B'sheino Mino. According to Bai, we would go to Kurma, it would be Min B'mino. Here it's just the opposite. Rava said, well, they're both called vinegar, so we'll have to go to Chumrah, according to Abai, but they don't taste the same. So we could go to Kula. So it all depends on the taste.
Wouldn't it be in terms of the name? It would depend on the culture, maybe in some cultures it would have...
Could be. That's what allows it to be identifiable.
Different names.
Yeah. Omar Abai, look, I'll prove to you that essentially everything is defined by how things taste. Mino amin Allah. How do I prove to you that we go according to the taste? For the Mishnah, the Tanan, I should say. Tavlin, Shnayim v'shalosh shemot. Let's say that you have some type of spice. So they could have three different names, but they're all min echad. Or they could be three completely different minim. So over there we're talking about in terms of, again, this is a big machlokas, right? But Rashi's approach is, let's say you've got three different types of pepper. You have white pepper, you've got black pepper, you have long stem pepper, whatever. Or for that matter, different meaning. And the question over here is, they're all would be the same iser. So that if you're mitzarif them, they're asurim, umitztarfim. They can all be mitzarif to aser. You know, even though one in and of itself would not be detectable, but if you mix all three of them and you can taste it, so then it's awesome. Now, Chizkiah defined that mission as follows. They all have the same general taste. So when we're talking about Shalosh Shemot, it means they're all mine mitika. They're different. The spices, let's say, will all give a type of sugary kind of taste. So they sweeten obviously, when you go, they have the same effects. Obviously, when you go to select your salad dressing, you have salad dressings that have a sort of a sweet effect, sharp effect, sour effect, basic tastes. By the way, the question of tastes as opposed to smells, which is an extremely important issue because so much of taste is really smell. Basically, there are only a few simple tastes which are now recognized as four. It used to be three tastes. But there's only those. That's what we're talking about. Minimatika is one of the four primal tastes. And then the rest of it is really smell. Later on, the Gemara is going to question which is more important, the taste component or the smell component in terms of taima. But speaking now about minimatika. Okay, so they're all going to stimulate those nerves that detect sweetness. So therefore, says Chizkiah, that's what makes them all the same. Because they all are the same taste. And therefore, so since all of them now can be mitzaref in this fashion, in getting together, they twist the taste of your cholent and they make it a sweet cholent. Somebody will taste it and say, this is that type of cholent, this is that type of kugel. there's the sour kugels, there's the sweet kugels, or something. Those are very general hagdoras. Fine. So yamid bishleim and butter taima aslina. So it's a bina, and obviously, there's no other way to read that mishnah. I mean, you see, if I'm right that everything is dependent on primal tastes, okay, I understand why it's mitztaref. It's mitztaref because it's all part of the set of that taste. So kulacha taimu, and that's what defines this. But according to you, Rava, this doesn't make any sense at all. The Mishnah is saying that it would all be roy to be mitztaref. Why? It has different names. It says beferes. It has different names. You're saying it's still going to be mitztaref. And Chizkiah makes sense. He said, well, obviously it can only mean it'll be mitztaref because it all has the same basic taste. But according to you, this makes no sense at all. What do you mean? How are we going to be mitztaref things that have nothing in common? Because according to you, the taste is not what's important. So, Hayishmalachud, says Rava, you know, it's really cute what you just did. You bring me a Mishnah, an Orla, and then you bring me Chizkiah's Pirush of the Mishnah, as if that's a given. I mean, nobody can read this Mishnah except Chizkiah. How about if I disagree with that? I don't think that that's the meaning of the Mishnah. I don't believe that it has to do with its time. I tell you that this Mishnah has nothing to do with time. This Mishnah is going on Liba to Rabbi Meir, who has a totally different Shita, Legabit Siruf, which comes from a whole different idea. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what Rabbi Meir pointed out, is that Minayin Akol Yisroin Shebetorah, Shemitztarfim Zeim Zeh. He's got this incredible Shita, that you don't need a common denominator for Tziruf, other than the fact of it being Osir. If it's usher, it would start off with any other type of isser. That's a, obviously we're not discussing that. I mean, that is not the normative approach at all. But this Mishnah is following that shita. I wasn't arguing with you about Rabbi Meir. But what this Mishnah is saying is that since we follow Rabbi Meir, and he learns out from the Pasuk Shenemar, Lo tochal kol to'eva. Now, what is that supposed to mean? What is a to'eva? I mean, it can only be defined by what the Torah says. I tell you shall not be eaten. So it's ti'afti lecha. I put it out of bounds. Normally we call a to'eva, the simple explanation is it's an abomination. What is that supposed to mean? It's abominable to eat something that you didn't take ma'aser from. It's abominable to eat something that every McDonald's sandwich has. I mean, what's that supposed to mean? Obviously, the meaning of to'eva, in the deepest sense, is that it's out of range. So if it's something that is out of range in terms of tastefulness, you call it, in English, it's an abomination. Over here, it means it's out of range because the Torah makes it out of range. In which case, the only way to understand it is, kol she'ti'afti lecha, whatever I tell you is out of bounds, it all is one issur. Babal Tochal. What is that Nogeya? Siruf. So if I tell you this, you can't eat, then that means that all things have this meta quality called Toeva. That meta quality is enough to be Mitzaref to Asr. Anything that is Asr to eat? So if that's the Klal, then over here it would obviously be able to go together. Okay? Now this touches upon the question of lav shebiklalot. Aren't meda isurim usually not viewed as something you get malchus for, which Tosfos discusses over here? And he says that really that's not the point. Even if you hold of lav shebiklalot, if you're not looking on, this would still be a drush that would make sense. Again, it's not clear that it necessarily has to impinge on that area. But that's what the Mishnah was referring to, not Chizkiah's approach. Now, can we get back, please, to our sugya? So now, chala, lego chamra. Let's take a look at a case where vinegar is falling into wine, and surprisingly, it will make a difference whether wine falls into vinegar or vinegar falls into wine. Why is that? Now we get to the issue of smell. Because as wine falls into vinegar, it's exposed to the smell of the vinegar. Now remember that the smell of the vinegar, the pungency of the vinegar, essentially means that there is a strong presence of molecules of vinegar that are sitting above the level of the surface of the liquid. You now have another liquid that's pouring in. It absorbs that smell. The more pungent it is, the more noticeable it is in the liquid that's falling in. So what happened is that the wine over here is unable to impact the vinegar, because the vinegar is the one that has the stronger pungency. And because of that, chala lego chamra, well, that's two different tastes, it's two different names, that's definitely not part of our machlokas. Divrei HaKol Banot in Tam, that's min b'sheinu minu, I don't care how you go. You go according to what it's called, you go according to what it tastes. Totally different worlds. Now, the question is, however, how about chamra lego chala? Now we got a problem, because according to Abaye said everything is basically a function of the taste. Now, the question is, in this case, as the wine is falling into the vinegar, of course, something strange happens. It starts getting this vinegary taste and starts actually being vinegar on some level. So once it becomes the vinegar, according to Abaye, shall we view that as a vinegary issue, or shall we view that as a wine issue? Hello, Richie? I figure one thing will get you going. A telephone call. What a shame we can't capture that face on camera. We've got to use his issues against him.
About these calls, but they're all, you know, this one can't get into the
parking
lot.
This is the most important one of all. Time to come to that,
the wake up call.
All right.
I turn it off, but then somebody would just leave and not come back, and that's, you know,
you're lucky they don't leave and not come back even with when you do get the call. Yeah, we just had that this morning up here. All right. Anyway, getting back to the sugya, you know, a little comic relief. So that already involves a different question. Would Abaye go so far, being as we go according to the taste, would he go so far as to say that since the major component of taste is smell, and in this case the smell of the wine is vinegarish, does it now turn into vinegar in terms of min bimino? Indeed, says Abaye, it's b'masha, because it's min bimino. Because now, even though it's the same mixture, but since it went in this direction, which the wine on the way in absorbs the smell of the vinegar, it now becomes min bimino, it's b'masha. Whereas Rava says, it's b'notein tam. Abaye omer b'masha, because you go according to the smell. In a case where reche chala, something smells like vinegar, such as this wine, as it's about to fall into the vinegar, it smells like vinegar. Despite the fact that it may taste, if you could get rid of the smell component, it may taste like wine, so that's called vinegar, because that's the fundamental thing we go according to, and it's chala, and then it's min bimino. If it's min bimino, ko min bimino is bimashu. Whereas Rama Omar Benotin Tam, that's because he holds, who cares? I mean, Rechi Chalav Taima Chamra, we don't, what do we care how it smells? It's still wine, isn't it? So, wine by any other name, is that how it goes? So it's Chamra, not according to Rava. Havilei, min b'sheino mino, ko min b'sheino mino Benotin Tam. But this question, as to the presence of smell, also has a deeper significance, which is even where it's not the question of its impact on the taste. How about smell qua smell? Is that indeed, because of the fact that I'm taking it so seriously in terms of defining the tam, is it because smell is considered to be significant in and of itself? Or perhaps only when it affects the tam. Well, How about if you are a wine smeller? Now, that is a way to make money, and you go around from place to place. Of course, now we have instruments that can do this, but you smell. So there's a small hole that can be opened in order to get the smell of what's happening inside the barrel. It's possible to distinguish with the smell whether the fermentation is completed, whether it's going too far, whether it's got the wrong yeast species, so on and so forth. And you can make a determination as we better drink this wine today or we're going to lose it, and so on and so forth. Or if you want to purchase the wine, you want an expert to tell you this after having sampled, not the wine, but at least the smells. You make a tiny hole, enough to smell, and that's called a batia. It's called an opening for smell. Can you go around and smell the cognac cellars, be a wine smeller in a wine cellar for a wine cellar? That's the question. So if you've got a batia, now for a goy to be walking around and be hired as the sniffer by a Jew, that's fine, because the hole, there's absolutely no way for him to get his finger in the hole and so on. It's a tiny hole that allows smell out. So that would be Shapir Domi, there's no problem behind that. How about the other way around? Yisrael bedovei kochavim. Now, obviously, I can't be paid. Because if I'm paid, then it's a rotsu b'kiyumo issue. I'm being paid for work in Yayin Esav. That's definitely also by the opening Mishnah. But how about if I'm not being paid? I enjoy it. How about that? Can I smell the smell of cognac? So Abaye Omer Aser, now this is consistent with Abaye's approach, that Recha is what's the Iker determinant, and he says it's Recha and it's Aser. Rav Omer Mutter. Abaye Omer Aser, Recha Milti. Recha itself is considered to be an extant entity, despite the fact that it's only detectable by a nose, perhaps, and you can't detect it with your eyes or your fingers, but that is considered to be there by definition. And therefore, I'm being nana from the Ayin Esav. Whereas Rava says, the smell is a way for you to detect that something is there in the barrel, not that something is there in your nose. And therefore, that reach has no significance in halacha.
Even if it does have significance in halacha, the Torah only asks achila.
Why does the Torah only ask achila? The Ayin Esav is asked about not.
So just the hana issue. Would Rava?
It's an actual hana of the wine. I'm actually being nana from the wine itself. Or is it just like? It's the fact of the wine's being there. That
a professional who's tasting a wine, first he scrolls it around and he smells it before he even tastes it.
Right,
you know?
Right. But that's the shaila. Is that itself, is that the wine? Or is that a way to take a spectrographic reading of the wine, so to speak? How do we view those individual molecules that your nose is sensitive enough to detect?
Directly connected to Israel.
Correct, yeah. Or is it just something that's agav? Is it significant? That's the question. It's not significant, and the Torah doesn't answer things that aren't there. You know, the fact that you experience it, but it has no physical presence, and therefore the Torah never answered it. So that's the question of sensibility. It's what, when we talk about things having matter, does that mean that it's sensitive? Remember, the only one of our senses that is astonishingly sensitive enough to do things that for any other purpose would require instrumentation, is noses. They're more sensitive than instrumentation up to a point. I mean, only very recently can you manufacture mechanical noses, electronic noses, that would be as sensitive as a human nose or even as a dog nose. But that, the best way of detecting things, even today, is to go around with a dog. That seems so primitive. Everything else is all spectrographic analysis, things you never dreamed that you'd be able to detect. And yet, the ability of a nose to detect one molecule in a trillion is just unbelievable. But, I mean, is one molecule in a trillion there in terms of how the halacha defines something being there? That's a different question.
This is why I also like the incense of Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. Omar Rava, I mean,
but in England, guy who sniffs the wine in Ramat HaGolan, in Yain HaGolan, he's a goy.
Yeah,
I think his name is Schottenstein. Schottenberg or something. He has a special room for the vineyards.
Keep away, but they're using a dog to sniff the wine. Oh boy. Anyway, says Rava, look, I'm going to prove to you. The reich of alaf klomo. Reach is nothing real. It's an experience of something that's not a physical reality. Again, la halacha. It's not tanur shisiko bekamun shal truma. Let's say you take a pile of kamen. That's all also betruma. And you use this kamen as firewood. Now you burn it in the tanur. Obviously, this got a very profound taste of kamen in it. And then you go ahead and you put in some pitot. And now you bake your pitot in this tanur. Oh, Rich is turning on. Here we go. Spring a little za'atar and chumas and go all the way. So then the pot is muteret. It's a fish in the Mishnah. It's not a problem of having now truma in this pot. Anybody can eat it because there's no tam of komun. Ein ba tam komun el arecha komun. Now, what is that supposed to mean? Ein ba el arecha komun. You tell me. I'll tell you. It means that the reyach doesn't mean anything. So despite the fact that you detected here, there's nothing real that's there. Says Abaya, you bring me a raya from there? Over there, of course, there's nothing real that's there. The cumin was burnt to a crisp before this taste was generated. Am I talking to you about a case where the be'en never existed? Over here, it's obviously the mikla yisure. That which was usur doesn't physically exist anymore.
Time of the reach.
Yeah, now it's generating the reach. That's great. That's the leftovers of what was. Echoes of the Big Bang. But as far as what's concerned over here, is the wine here? Is the smell that you smell the smell of that wine in the barrel? Thank you very much. That means that it's usur, okay? So you can't bring me a raya from a case where the isur itself has disappeared in the course of its creating this reach.
Or is it that Recha Milzes, even though it says Recha Milzes, only when the other thing is there?
Correct. I'm saying that there's a modality of contact. It's something that's extant. When I know it's not extant, then of course I don't view it as being something real. It was generated by something that disappeared.
Is it Recha Sheyesh Loita V'Shem Loita? This is the...
It would relate to that question, yes.
Mm-hmm. But it's not.
Not directly that question, because over here it was generated by something that had an ikar. The shaila is that since the time is at that, it now becomes available, it's mikla, so it's as if it's not there anymore.
So no bliya into the tanur?
Oh, we'll get to that question. Well, what was nivla was not of something that existed as isser. It had been burnt. Omer of Mori, the truth is, this idea of the reyach, I think it's a machloket tanaim. Because how else do you read the following? Harode pat chama v'natana agabei chavit shel yayin shel truma. You take out fresh bread, fresh pita from an oven. It's hot. You put it on top of a barrel. We're gonna see. You put it on top of a barrel of wine, and the wine is truma. So Rabbi Meir says, well, yeah, you can't eat that. It's truma because it's absorbed all of that. Smelling it. Rabbi Yehuda matir. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, it's just the smell. I mean, that seems to be exactly our question. Rabbi Yossi says, well, it actually depends what kind of bread it is, you know. I mean, if it's made out of wheat, then it's usur. If it's made out of barley, if it's made out of wheat, it's mutter. If it's made out of barley, it's usur, because barley, mibnation sorim shohavot, they are extremely absorptive. They've got a lot of that wine in there from that smell. Now, I mean, if you're telling me, Rebuta is matir, so the fundamental machlokus over here is my love, welcome, if we get marsova recha milta. And therefore, if that reach is in this bread, then it's definitely asur. Umarsova recha veloklumu. There's no way, according to Rava, that this is not a Machlokas Tanoim. Somebody is saying it's Osir. It being a quantity that according to Rava doesn't exist here. So obviously there's got to be someone who holds like a buyer. So Li Rava Vadai Tanoim. The most Rava could say is, okay, I give up. So there's a Tana who holds like a buyer, okay? I admit so. Because otherwise, how could Rabbi Meir answer it? But must Abaye learn this as being a raya that somebody agrees with Rabbi Meir, with Rava in the Machlokes Tanoim? Mi lema Tanoim? Omelach Abaye? Of course not. And by the way, this is not my issue. We know that there's an old Pirish on this Mishnah that makes it very clear. Ladni Yitmar Allah was not defined by Rabba Bar Bar Chana, was quoting you in turn Rish Lakish, that it depends on the circumstances. If you're talking about Pat Chama, the Chavit Ptucha, if you're really talking about hot bread, which is very absorptive, and the barrel is also open, so the wine is generating a nice smell, then everybody would hold its usher because it definitely absorbed the smell. The question over here is whether it is a significant absorption, not whether if it absorbed, whether the smell would usher. 100%. If it absorbed, then it would usher. Everybody agrees with me. Fine, they can have a question. How do you define significant absorption? But there's nobody here that agrees with Rav at all, in my opinion. Nobody would say smell. Who cares about smell? So therefore, if there's smell here because the bread was fresh and it was hot and the wine barrel was open, everybody would agree it's awesome. If the bread was chilled and the wine was covered, that's ridiculous. Nobody would say it's awesome. Everybody would say it's mutter because fact is it didn't absorb any smell. So then for sure, Tatsonenet, Chavit Megufa, of course, Tibiakol Muteret. That's what's the issue over here? How much absorption? That's the only issue. Loner Kalabat Chama, where the Chavit is Megufa. So maybe that was the case we have now. It says you take out hot bread, and it's not referring to an open barrel. So the hot bread is so sensitive that it will absorb even the few molecules that are leaking out through the cheres. Of course, there's always that smell in the wine cellar. It's not coming out from any hole, but it's generally, there's a level now of smell, and that would be enough, at least according to Rabbi Meir Tasser, or vice versa. If the barrel is wide open, and then the bread is sitting on there, then even if it's not hot bread, it may absorb from a wide open barrel. That's the point I'm saying. My case, over here, a guy's going to sniff a barrel that has a hole in it. That everybody agrees on. That is Haididi is Kipat Chamave Chavit Ptuchad. I mean, that's the full equivalent of the case where everybody would be ready to answer it. And therefore, there is no Machloket Tanoim. You can tell that to Rava. He's up the creek without a paddle, as far as I'm concerned. Chamra atika beinvei divrei akol benotin tam. Chamra chadata beinvei abaya omer b'mashu, rav omer benotin tam. Abaya omer b'mashu, bota taima azlinan idivirecha taimu. Tavling min b'mino b'mashu. Rav omer benotin tam. Bota shma azlinan. V'ay shma lachud, v'ay shma lachud. Vavling min b'she'eno mino, v'min b'she'eno mino benotin tam. Tonight, our Mishnah, Yayin Hetzach Shenafal, Al-Gabayan Abim. Now, kasaka daita, chamra charata be'inve, my love, but no tentam. Nah, be my show, what do you mean? But the whole Mishnah discusses no tentam. And it's going to say, zak lau kosh ba'anato, but no tentam asur. Kosh in ba'anato, but no tentam mutar, and bechlal, but no tentam askina. Va'abaye, matnitin, bechamra tika be'inve. Okay, now, chala of chamra and chala of shifra, okay? Or chamir of chiti, chamir of sari. Abayom Rabbi Notin Tam, because both the time has lina. Vahai time alchud, vahai time alchud, I believe min b'shenu, min b'shenu, min b'shenu, min b'shenu, Rav Amar b'mashu, but our shema has lina. Vahai chala mikre, vahai chala mikre, vahai chamra mikre, vahai chamra mikre. So, I believe min b'mino, kol min b'mino is b'mashu. So here, Rav comes out to be l'chur. Omar Abayom, minah, minah, la, the but the time has lina, the tanya. Tavlin of Shayim v'Shalosh Shemot, which are Minachad. Or even if there's Shalosh Minim, it would still be Usher and would be Mitzarev. And says Chizkiah, why? Because we're talking about Minim Itikaskina. And therefore they all share the same basic smell. So Hovaruin Matek Bemetek Deira. So Iyamrit Bishlama about the Taimas Linan Sakulakat Taimu, and that explains why it's Mitzarev. But Iyamrit Batashmas Lina, why would they be Mitzarev, according to you, Rava? Hai Shmalakud, says Rava, what, the whole world's dependent on Chizkiah? Hamani Rabbi Meir, the Tanya Rabbi Yudam, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Minayan, the Koli Surin Shabbat Torah, Shemitstarfim Zeimze, Shinema Lotokal Kolto Eva, Koshati Aftilacha, Areyu Bebal Tokal. Chalalago Chamra, for sure, Divrei HaKol has been noting Tan. But Chamra go Chala, where it gets the smell of the Chala. So over there, Bayam Ramashu, Rav of Ramanotin Tan. Bayam Ramashu, Recha, Chala, the time of Chamra is Chala. Vahavi le min benino, and call min benino is Bamashu. Whereas Rav of Ramanotin Tan, Recha, Chala, time of Chamra is Chamra. Vahavi le min besheno mino, and call min besheno mino is Ramanotin Tan. Now, how about Tia? Ovid Kachav Bid Yisrael Shaper Domi, because he can't come in contact with the wine. But how about Yisrael Bid Ovid Kachavim? So Bay Omer Asur, Rav Omer Mutar. Bay Omer Asur, Recha is Milti. Rav Omer Mutar, Recha Lav Milti. Omer Rav Omina Mina, Leida Recha Vlav Klu. Detran Tanur, Shei Siko Bechomun Shal Truma. Via Fabo Et Apat, Apat Mutaret, Bafisha Ein Batam Komun. Elo Recha Komun. No, there you go. Says Abai, but that's a riot. Shani atam the mikle isure. Omer of Mariketanoi. Harode pat chama unetana al gapi chavit. Shal yain. So shal, and shal truma. Rabbi Meir, I'll say Rabbi Ramatir. Rabbi Yair, Rabbi Yossi says it depends. He's matir b'shal chitim v'asir b'shal saurin. B'b'day shal saurim shavot. So it would appear that my labo come here for gay. Mar sava recha milti, mar sava recha v'laf klon. So a Rav has no choice, but to admit, somebody's answering it. So it's vaday tanoi. La baye mi lema tanoi. Yom la baye. No, everybody's answering it. They're just questioning whether there's recha here. La mi idma la amar abba bar bachonim reshlokish. If you're talking about pat chaman chavit ptucha, of course it's answer. Because recha is miltei. If you're talking about pat sonenet chavit megufa, of course it's mutter, because there's nothing recha. But the nechav pat chama v'chavit megufa, or pat sonenet v'chavit petucha, and I'm talking about a case of direct smelling. Okay, so definitely the IDD is kapat chama v'chavit petucha. I mean, where everybody would agree. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle. Okay, we're holding on that Samach Vav Lamed Aleph, the Sefer Avodah Zarah, and we were in the middle of discussing the Dinim of Nosein Tam. So in the Mishnah we spoke about whether it was an actual mixture of wine that had fallen into grapes or into other things, and the Mishnah said there's an afkamina whether it absorbs or not. So if there's a hole in the grapes, or if we're talking about chitin, where there's a crack, it absorbs the moisture, then it's a din of Nosein Tam. However, we never established what Nosein Tam means. In other words, there's in general two different types of mixtures. One is a mixture in which we can be makir the tam, that would be pashtus, min b'shein omino. So we have something falling into something that tastes differently, so then we know what the tam is. Then we have a mixture of min b'mino. There's no way to establish that both things have the same taste. No clear way to establish what's there. However, we're going to see in today's Gemara that it's a mistake to think that the difference between min b'mino and min b'sheino mino is necessarily a question of taste. The two dinim of min b'mino and min b'sheino mino, in which we'll see later that it's actually limited to very specific cases, but the pashtus and afkamina is that min b'mino is not vatal. Because there is no way to be mevatel something in the same thing. And min b'sheino mino is batel. Now there's two ways of looking at that. One way of looking at it is that if something is noticeable, So then it's possible to discuss concepts of bitul in it. It isn't noticeable. So then what are we talking about the bitul for? But we'll see that that's not so precious. And there may be a completely different issue that's involved. And that's what we're going to get into today. The Gemara says, Chamra Atika Be'inve. Let's say that you have, and our Mishnah talks about wine falling on grapes. Now, what's wine? If it's old wine, in other words, it tastes like wine and not like grape juice, so then, Divrei HaKol B'Nos Saint Tam. Everybody agrees that in that case, the determining factor is whether the taste is noticeable. Because wine and grapes have a very different taste to them. But if it's chamra kanata binbe, how about if it's grape juice, basically, which tastes exactly the same as grapes? I mean, you say grape juice falls into grapes. So what's the din over there? Abaye omer b'mashuhu. Abaye says the din over there is that it's usur b'mashuhu because it's min b'mino. V'rov amar b'no sein tam. Rav says, nonetheless, the shir is no sein tam. And the klal is that wherever we have two things that we can't detect the time of one and the other, the shear of nice and time, as we know, is 1 and 60. And that's the standard bitul. Which was. Yes, we said that before. Yeah. So now, what's the machlokes? Abaye yomer b'mashuhu, because batzer taimaz lina nidavirich ha-taimuhu. Why does Abaye say that the shear over here, if it's grape juice in, mixed with grapes, that the shear is a mashu? Because he says what defines the min, in terms of the halacha, min b'mino or min b'she'eno mino, is the taste. Since over here, grape juice and wine taste the same, grape juice and grapes, I mean, taste the same, so it's a min b'mino. Min b'mino, the din is that it's b'mashu. Now, it's not necessarily true as a general rule. We'll see that that's a machlokas, but certainly by Yayin Nesach, we actually pask in that way. Whereas Rava says, no, the shir over here is b'noi sein tam, because both are shma as linan, v'hai shema lachud, v'hai shema lachud. Rava says that we go here the same way we always do. The shear is echa b'shishin. I'll say if it's min b'mino, it shouldn't be bottle at all. It's not min b'mino, because one of them is called grapes, and one of them is called wine or grape juice. And therefore, since it has two different names, it's a min b'she'eno mino. And the din of min b'she'eno mino is b'nos etam, even though it tastes exactly the same. So we estimate b'nos etam. What would we have been able to detect this tam in? And therefore it's echas b'shishim. And it becomes batal in echas b'shishim. We don't say it's mein b'shem. Now, the case in our Mishnah, which says, nine, yayin nesach shenafal agave anavim. And the pashtus is, one would assume that it's talking about yayin nesach, it's talking about wine, real wine, not grape juice. So kasalka daitav, our assumption about the Mishnah was that the Mishnah is referring to chamra chadata b'inbe. That the Mishnah could be referring to any type of wine. It's even chamra chadata, because all it says is yayin nesach. So if that's the case, when it says over here b'naisin tam, I mean, it talks about hanotzer b'naisin tam. It's mashma that we're talking about the shir of naisin tam. No, so if that's the case, it must be that we estimate it in achas b'shishim. No, b'mashu. What do you mean b'mashu? I mean, it doesn't say for that klal. Kosher b'nasa b'nosin tam pasuk. Kosher b'nasa b'nosin tam mutzer. But what are we talking about nosin tam for? We should just say if you're nenet from it, not b'hanasa b'nosin tam. I mean, so apparently the idea over here is nosin tam. The klal the b'nosin tam atzkinan. We seem to be talking about a din of nosin tam. So how is it going, a buyer going to explain it? I mean, if the Mishnah doesn't distinguish between what type of wine, so according to Abaye, he's got a real problem, because the Mishnah is saying we should say it's Naisin Tam, and even though it would be Chamra Chadata B'Inve, it's grape juice B'Inve, which according to Abaye, he says, since the taste is the same, it's going to be Asur B'Mashu, and yet the Mishnah says B'Naisin Tam. Abaye will have to say that it means
the norm, the standard case is when it says Yain Esach, it means wine, you know, not grape juice. So you'll learn that it means that it's talking about Chamra Atika Be'inve, and not Stam any type of Chamra Be'inve. By the way, just as an interesting sidelight on this issue, because you see that the Gemara was ready to entertain the notion that the Mishnah was talking about Kol She'yesh B'Hanato B'Nosin Tam, even though it might be talking about Min Bim B'Minim, you see. And then we said, yeah, but then what? So why does it say B'Nosin Tam? Must be that it's Nagea Min B'Sheino Minai, right? But what was the Gemara thinking? In other words, if the Mishnah said the Feirush, that the Shir over here we're talking about is to tell me Im Yesh B'Hanato, what were we thinking? The truth is, we have the question, as Tosis raises the question, where you're talking about something that's Aser B'mashahu, does it matter if it's Nais and Tam Levgam? That's the issue. Because you might think that the only time that it makes a difference whether something is Nais and Tam Levgam and Nais and Tam Levshevach is if the Isser is because of the Nais and Tam. But if the Isser is because of the Ta'arovet, even where it's b'mashu, and therefore there's certainly no argoshas tam at all. So over there, it would seem that we could simply ignore the factor of whether the tam that's being mixed is a tam l'shevach or a tam l'vgam, because I'm not interested in the tam. Now it's clear, l'chora, that what the Gemara assumed that the Mishnah was saying originally is that even if we'll hold that the Isser ought to have been b'mashu, there would still have been a point in saying that behana'ato, in other words, even though we're talking about something that is not murgash petamo, but there still is a din of nation tam levgam, there has to be hano, because that defines what is usher. Is there an isser here or not? That's the first question. If it's nation tam levgam, it's not an isser. Then we have a separate question. How much of the isser is here? How much of the isser is here is indeed a different question, and there we'll say that maybe it is the mashu if it's considered to be a min b'mina. I see I don't have the right kind of concentration here to be able to give over the details of this sugya. Well, I think maybe we'll wait until people wake up a little bit more. Yeah. Okay. We'll wait till tomorrow, if need be. Does that give you enough time?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Fine. So then Rabbi is going to have to limit our Mishnah to fine old wine mixed with grapes. Now how about vinegar? You can have two types of vinegar. You can have wine vinegar, you can have grain vinegar. So if you have a mixture of wine vinegar and grain vinegar, Chalat HaChamra and Chalat HaShikra, or you have a mixture of different types of whiskeys. You can have a Chamir Zafiti and a Chamir Tesari. You can have a whiskey that's made out of a rye and a whiskey that's made out of malt. I mean, now they're both called whiskeys. Abaye says, but they don't taste the same. So therefore, since according to Abaye, we go according to the taste, these things are considered to be a min b'she'eno mino, and therefore we go according to those say tam, and according to him, since it's b'bosa taimas mino, the shir would be b'nosa tam, v'hai taim l'chud, v'hai taim l'chud, each one has a different taste, v'hav elay min b'she'eno mino, u'min b'she'eno mino b'nosa tam. According to this, we would be able to be mavata like b'shisha. Rav Amar? What's the question? I don't know what the question is. Rav Amar b'mashahu, and Rav says the shir over here is b'mashahu because Bashu Shmas Lina. Both of these have the same name. It's called vinegar. It's called whiskey. And therefore, since it's the same name, Har Chalamikri, Har Chalamikri. This one's called vinegar, that one's called vinegar. Hachamra mikra, hachamira mikra, hachamira mikra. This one's called whiskey, that one's called whiskey. Avalei min b'mino. B'chol min b'mino b'mashu. Now, l'chor over here, we're not talking about Yayin Nesek, obviously. We're talking about things like Tevel, Fulin and Truma that are mixed. I mean, other historians will see that Lahalacha, we don't really distinguish between min b'mino, min b'sheino, mino, and regular historians. There's only certain cases that we make that distinction. But at this point, the Gemara is assuming that the difference between min b'mino, min b'sheino, mino would be no gea any yitzer. Omer Abaye. No, the truth is we're more masmer on Yayin Nesek Lahalacha. We do say there's a difference between me and the Mino and the Mishan Amino. By other Yisurim, we don't. So we're made no by other Yisurim. Okay, well, we're in the middle of the studio. We just opened it. Wine cats. Omer Abaye, Mina Amino Lodabas or Taimas Amino. How can I prove to you that we follow the taste in determining whether something is bottle as a min b'mino or a min b'she'eno mino? We don't follow the name of it. Now, by the way, I should mention, even though you are all half asleep, that the name of it does not necessarily mean the name of it in terms of the material. There is also a pirish, I think we can close it, huh? Pirish Gongong. There's also a period that the name of it could include the name of the Yisr. So that if there's two different Yisurim, then they would be considered to be min b'she'eno mino. Now we'll see interesting cases where that would be nogea. Because we do find lo min hashem hu zeh, the Mishnah or the Gemara will often say, lo min hashem hu zeh, that doesn't mean it's not the same material, obviously. Lo min hashem hu zeh means it's not the same issue that's involved. And sometimes it's important, l'gabei the din of hitzarfut, which we're about to get into, if you're going to be mitzarev, different isurim, to aser, two isurim should aser something that is mutter, then there may be a difference between but let's take a look now as we look at Abaye's Raya that we go according to the Tav. It should probably say the Tnan here instead of the Tanya because this is really a Mishnah in Orla. Tavlin Shnayim V'shalosh Shemot. If you've got different types of spices in which they may have different names, but they're all min echad. They're all. Let's say you can have black pepper, and you can have white pepper, and you can have long pepper. But they're all all called peppers. And or for that matter, even if you have min shlosha, meaning that there are three different minim completely, they are asur, and they would then be mitzvah. Darev, if you don't have enough in any one of them to give the taste into the top shield that they fall, they could be mitzarev to aser the taste. That's how Rashi learns, in which case the din of asurin and the din of mitzarev is exactly the same. We're saying they're asurin in the sense that they're mitzarev. So this is bothered by that redundancy in the language, and he learns that one is to talk about tam and one is to talk about mixtures of solids where you don't necessarily have a tom issue, but nonetheless it would be mitzaref without any kind of nitinat time. This is how he understands it. So if it's, let's say, a dover yavesh, you have to know you got a mixture of things. You can't, a dover yavesh doesn't have any tom questions because nothing absorbs taste from anything else. Mix white pepper and black pepper, there's no mixture of the tom in anything. But I do have a mixture. Now I look at this mixture as being one min, so now it will all be considered to be the same iser. And even if it's three different types of things, it would also be mitzvah. It's really crazy, because nobody holds that. How does that work? And if Fiske explained, well, what that means is, as that halacha, b'minei mitikas, you know, we're talking about over here that they're all in the same family of spices. And there's a family of spices that are sharp spices, or that are sweet spices, or that are sour spices, those according to the four tastes. Those are divide spices into families. And according to Chizkiah, the only way to understand the Mishnah is you can't possibly say that both shlosha meaning, and it's also shlosha timing, that it's going to be mitzvarev in terms of tam, unless there's a general family of tam, and here that's what we mean. For instance, let's say they're all sweeteners, in a sense. Oh, v'ruin l'mat take them at akedir. Now, says Abaye, I mean, what is this supposed to mean? Iyavet bishleima baser taimaz linan. If you're going to tell me that the determinant factor is the way something tastes, so then you can tell me that chizkiyah makes sense. So then kulachad, I understand kulachad taimu. The fact that they're a member of the same set of tastes would in fact serve to make them mitzarfim. And the yemet baser shmaz. If you're going to tell me this, you're claiming Rava, that the determining factor is what it's called, the name of the species. So who cares if they all happen to share a mitika? It's not an issue. Hai shema lakud, v'hai shema lakud. Now how in the world would they name it staret? Says Rava, you're absolutely right. The normative halakha would never consider this type of mixture. But this is going according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir has a unique shita. Hamani Rabbi Meir he, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir Minayin Lekoli Sirim Shebetorah Shemitztarfim Zeimzeh. How do I know that all things are mitztarf one with the other? Sa'aser Shinemar Lo Tochal Kol Toevad, which means Kol Shetiavti Lecha Rebuk Bal Tochal. We could put together in a general sense anything that the Torah for any reason has said is mitu'av and is unsuitable for you to eat as one Isser of Bal Tochal, in which case it would all be mitzvah. Therefore, Chizkiah's approach to try to say that this was going not a libet Rabbi Meir, and that we're talking about sets of tastes, and when it said three types of tavla, it meant three types of tavla that were members of the same set, either mitikar or whatever, that's wrong. That isn't the explanation here. The explanation is that the chalavet shayach tziruf. Yeah, that's how Rashi. Problem with that is, then the question of the combination of the tavlin, where it starts off saying vehi min echad. I mean, Chizkiah seemed very reasonable. We were talking about something that is in common with them. To just throw out Chizkiah is a little odd. And Tosus is learning that Rava also agrees to Chizkiah. In other words, even though Rabbi Meir says all Yisurim Shebet Torah, mashma that they don't have to be part of the same species, the same type, the same set. Tosfos is machalik between things that are be'en, where the Torah says this thing itself is osur, and then ein afinami, the thing remains osur. Or where we're dealing only with a tam. If we're dealing with a tam, then we have to have a basis of the tziruf of that tam, when something is not the end. And this bichlal leads to a general, I said I don't want to talk to you until you're more alive, but remember that there are completely different levels of understanding the nature of mixtures. As when we say that we have the tam of a mixture, and that therefore we have an iser of a mixture. So we know that we learn out from Mishrat Anavim that by Mazir the tam is ke'ikr, we say. The taste of a thing is as if the thing is there. Now does that mean the taste of a thing where the actual thing, say, melted into a mixture, we had some fat melt into a kugel or something, and now we've got iser that's there. So that's one type of tam kiyaker. But then there's also the classic mixture in which something is cooked in a pot of this or something like that, where there is nothing in at all. There's only the tam. Now over there it's not at all clear that the concept of tam kiyaker applies even in such a case, to say that it would be a derisa, you see. Then there's furthermore the question of whether something is shy after being a derisa if it's impossible to eat a kezias with the afimus price. How much has to be in this mixture? Not necessarily, no. That would be a question of the Fiyavu Malkus, whether there's a shayla, there's a difference between the Isser and the Fiyavu Malkus Mamish. Now the truth is that the Shulchan Aruch, and this is against the Rambam, paskins that all Tam Ke'ikr is a Diyaraisa, and because of that we're Machmir. very much in this, in these things. But if that's the point, then you must recognize there's something rather shocking about distinguishing between the name of a thing as opposed to its taste. That's the whole point in the Torah, is its taste. And what would the name have to do with it? So clearly this question, amin b'mino, amin b'sheino mino, may in fact be a completely different question. May not relate to the ideas of mixtures in the sense of bittul. It may relate to the question of the existence of Isser. There's two completely different questions over here. Is something bittul in something else? What are the standards for that bittul? And then there's the question of, is there an Isser extant here? You see? So, I mean, not necessarily do those two interrelate. If Rava is saying we have to distinguish the name of the thing, then decide whether an Isser is extant. If the Isser is extant, then you get into the question, okay, is it bottle, is it not bottle, and then that's something else. So that, as we'll talk again as we get more into this sugya, because I'd rather you have a chance to review it before we talk about all the Achreina Shared and so on in it. It's a very fascinating sugya, and obviously very nogea sugya. We'll see that there's all types of twists and turns in the min bimino, min b'sheino, mino issues, in which sometimes one becomes more calmer and sometimes the other one becomes more calmer, depending on what we're talking about. So here, Tosfos finds that even according to Rebbe Meir, the only din of tziruf is where there's actual Isser. But over here we're not talking about actual Isser, we're still talking about tam. And when you're dealing with tam, there needs to be a basis of the yitzdarkus, aside from the question of Rebbe Meir, whether I can be mitzdarik for theft of the Isser, the question is there a theft of an Isser? Therefore, Lagabe, the non-be'en mixture, says Tosis, there's no reason to say we turn our back on Fiske and say we don't need some commonality in terms of the taste, because if it's bottle and there's no taste, it's bottle. What's the difference if it's been started? It's not here. Now, Chala Lagokhan. Now, here we come to a different question. Because even though Abaye has determined that the question of noticing Tom is a din in Tom, so that min b'she'eno mino is defined by how something tastes. Taste is a complex thing. And taste is very much constituted of a combination of smell and taste buds. Most of our determination, the brain's determination of taste, is actually a function of smell. And therefore the question is, how much does a buyer take that into consideration if he's talking about a mixture that's to be determined by its taste? And here we get into a more subtle question. So the question, therefore, would be like this. If you have, and this is so fascinating, if you have a case of vinegar that's falling into wine. Now, vinegar and wine taste differently, and they have different names. So both according to Rav and according to Abaye, it should definitely be a din in noisim tam. It's not min v'mino, it's min b'sheino mino. But how about the other way around? How about if wine falls into vinegar? Now here you have an interesting thing, because as the wine falls into the vinegar, the smell of the vinegar is rapidly absorbed in the wine. When you sniff this container, you smell vinegar. Because in the case of the vinegar falling into the wine, and then the main container is wine, you're still going to smell the wine. But as the wine falls into a whole container of vinegar, the wine is affected and it's by the vinegar. It's overwhelmed by the vinegary smell.
Is it the same premise as with regards to heating water on Shabbat? Hot water going into cold water, cold water going into hot water?
No.
That's the same?
No. I mean, it sounds that it's Nagea, but it's not really. I mean, you're talking about Tatoa Gavara, Ila Gavara, and it's not really that. So over here, Abaye says, now in that case, you see, in that case, it's b'mashu. Because now the wine, essentially, has become vinegar, because it smells like vinegar, and that's the main component to determine how something is. I said goes buster tam. So what you really have over here is vinegar falling into vinegar. And then it should, and therefore it should be us. Whereas Rava says b'noshen tam. So Abaye omer b'mashu, because it says, reicha chalan, a case where it smells like vinegar, and this wine, as it's falling into this container, rapidly absorbs the smell of the vinegar. And therefore, even though it's tam, in other words, if you were able to isolate your taste buds, the smell, it would be wine and not vinegar. The essential determinant over here is the smell, and therefore it's called kala. V'havelei min b'mino. And according to me, the things that taste the same, and in this case smell the same, are considered to be min b'mino. Kol min b'mino is b'mashu. Therefore, in this case, I'm being masmir to say that it won't be bottle. Whereas Rava Amar Benotin Tam, Rava says, well, it still doesn't matter. Recha Kala V'tayim B'chamra, I mean, it's still Chamra. V'havelei min b'sheino mino. V'chol min b'sheino mino, Benotin Tam. So according to me, I've got two different minim over here, and therefore I would be mako. Now the same question as to the power of reyach, or I wouldn't say the same, but a related question, would come up in a bat tia. Now the bat tia is an opening, either the type of opening that we found in the Rabbi Elchanan earlier, where we were talking about the pressure relief that you could put a straw through and sniff, or when it's actually a hole that you make in the barrel, and you're able to smell the wine in the barrel to see what its condition is. Now, that bat tia, the question is, a goy to smell a Jew's wine through the bat tia. That's definitely not a problem. Shapard, I mean, there's no, we're not going to say that there's a question of yayin metzah and smelling the wine. But what about a Yisrael smelling the wine for the Ovid Kochon? Obviously, we're not talking about over here that he's being paid for and he's making scar for trade for wine or anything like that. But the question is there an iser in the smell?
Of
the nesa, yeah, the Goyish wine, whatever
it is.
Expert
trying to deny that the people with vinegar or something?
Yeah. What would be the din?
It's not called Hanah.
It's definitely not called Hanah. The reason it's not called Hanah is because a reyach of this type is pogea more than it is mahana. So that's for sure. We're not dealing with the Yisra Hanah. What we are dealing with, surprisingly, is whether smell is the equivalent of drinking. Now, there's some Rishonim who learn that the case over here is that the smell is inhaled through the mouth. Barakah. Inhaled through the mouth. In other words, to get the sense of what the taste would be of something of this, so then you want it mixed in your nose and mouth so that the molecules are detected both by your smell and by your taste. And that's the question on whether such a thing is the equivalent of shtia. In other words, whether we say that the essentially molecules that we can't see but we detect are considered to be the equivalent of a liquid that we're actually drinking or not. Something invisible is meaningless. It's invisible. Sorry? Well, no, that would be a shayla, according to this. Or because we're not talking about Hanah. We're talking about shtia, davka. Now, the Hanah, for instance, Tosfos brings the case of zivos. Now, in those days, they used to be a room deodorant. Generally, they would use wine for room deodorant, you know, alcohol, nice taste, and so on, and they would spray it. Now, over there would certainly be an Yisra'an, and that the Gemara says beferish. But there, you don't have that concentrated impact of the smell that is pogea in you more than it offers you. You know, it's like putting on perfume, that first smell of the perfume. Ow! It's horrible, right? So that's what's happening over here in the Bat Tiha. Certainly not, that's not the issue with the Hanah. Okay, so we have to distinguish. No, that's something else. It's not talking about that there's no Cheskasteva, there's no Sachar, that also speaks of the Farish, otherwise we'd be having another problem over here. It cancel that problem. So sans the problem of Hanah in terms of working with the Yayin Netzach. Is there an actual Isser of Shtia over here? So Abaye Omer Asur, Rav Omer Mutar. Abaye says Asur Recha Milsahi. The general rule is Recha is Milsa, and Rav Omer Mutar Recha Lav Milsahi. Smell means nothing. Now, the truth is we have a lot of sugyas that deal with Recha Milsahi. Rashi has a tendency to mix the sugyas, which, as Jesus points out over here, will lead us to a lot of contradictions in terms of how we paskin. Because, I mean, we have sugyas, famous sugyas, let's say, where you're you're cooking two different types of meat together. One of them is osir, one of them is mutter. And the shiloh over here is, does the smell of one meat get into the other? So that if you're cooking it together with basar nevela or something like that, now there we have an equivalent machlokas between Rav and Levi as to whether Reif has milsa. And according to the way we should paskin, like we normally would paskin like Rav against Levi, but we'd also normally paskin like Rav against Abaye, and so we have a contradiction in Pesach. And he brings many other examples of cases that are Reif on milsa that are by no means clear how we could work out if they really always mean the same thing.
Is Rashi bringing these things together a function of his professional study? I mean, he worked
for him. No, I don't think so. No, he holds that the sikh is a rea. I mean, we don't find that the Gemara distinguishes between types of rea. We find it distinguishes between amounts of rea, as we'll see later on. Not necessarily types of rea. Tosis, on the other hand, says there's no comparison between these sugyas, and he shows that there's various levels of how we're willing to deal with recha, as considered to be milsi. So that you, according to him, the intensity of the rea is an actual function of the rea that's iser. It's not just a question of how much does it absorb. It's a yes or no question. Is recha milsa or is recha lav milsa? Under various circumstances. I mean, the most famous case that's Nogea very much, I mean, Tosis brings up over here, is the case in which you're cooking up, in which we're going to have things like it coming, in which you have cooking up, let's say, you know, bread with some meat in the same oven. Or you have a milchika kugel, you know, together with a fleishika thing, you know. So is that considered to be mixtures within the same tanur? Is another one of the sugyas that is brought. And again, Tosfos shows there too that there is no iser. There's a big nafkamina between putting something in the personal, what they used to have, their little personal cookers, where they had a little tripod and put some, they had, you know, they actually call it tripod in the Rishon, in which they would cook something up. I guess we have the sirpella type cooker, in which over there, recha is milsa. You can use it both for milk and to fleishik. Or a tanur, in which the tanur includes also a vent, so that there isn't an actual deposit of one thing on the other, in which there's no problem. As we said, there would be no problem cooking milk and to fleishik together in a stove, because there's no, in those cases, we don't say recha, as long as there's
big
a...
Baker's oven?
Yeah, for sure not big baker's oven, but I mean, certainly the way I grew up, and most people I know grew up, the thought of a milk oven and a fleisch oven was absolutely unheard of. There's no such thing. An oven is an oven. You can cook milk and fleisch together, and whoever heard of such a thing? And that was the norm. Not in the same time, but... also Mishpanim. But that's the norm. That was the norm. Then came along the modern discoveries and the misleading information that was given to Reb Moshe about whether there are vents in ovens or not. And based on, that's unfortunately, many elements of Pesach are based on wrong information, came along this whole business of using two different ovens and so on. The microphone sort of thing. So I mean, Tosfos talks about cooking a pizza together with a fleishik, a kugel, at the same time in a tanur. He says there's no problem with that, as long as they're not actually touching each other, because we don't have a recha milsa under those circumstances. No, open. No. Again, because as long as it's an oven, it's a large oven, and there's a vent, it shouldn't be a problem. Sorry? Yeah, so that's the question. Is it the point at which Reifa becomes there? And so, yeah. She and her father only has one of them. They never heard of it. My grandfather's not solid. I mean, they probably wouldn't do it.
I'll throw it for an oven, they can hold those
people in. Yeah, maybe your oven is too small. Okay. In any event, we still today, unfortunately, most people can't eat in our home because we only have one oven. Thank you. So now, says Rava, I want to prove to you. I want to prove to you that Reich Halav Mils. That the smell doesn't mean anything. Reich of a little clue. Gutznan, Tanur Shisikob, the Kamon Shal Truma. You used cumin to heat up, and it was also because I'm taking, it was Teva or Truma. And you cook now in that oven that has been heated by cumin, you cook bread in it. The bread is mutter because there's no time of cumin, there's only the reich. Now the bread certainly smells like cumin. And the whole thing was heated with cumin. So you see that it's not a problem. And even though it's truma, there's no issur in eating it for Yisrael. And Abaye says, all right, but you can't bring a riot from there. Because over there you were burning it. So if you destroy the thing, by the time the smell gets out there, what you're talking about is the smell of something that has now been kol yisura, the yisura that has been burnt up. Therefore, in that particular case, it's mutter. As far as the question of shevach etzim, of course, that is irrelevant, as Tosfos points out, because shevach etzim, yes, shevach etzim b'pat, only deals with yisurei hana'ah. Shevach etzim is where you use the etzim, let's say, of Yisur, of Avodah Zorah, Yidavat or something. So then, no, the heat of the wood. Is that considered to be now in the pot itself? But that would only be whether Hanoah is also. There's no Yisur Hanoah and Truma. So that's not the cool question of the Tam. So a Tam that is Kolui, I mean, of course, there's no Yisur at that point. Omer of Mori, says of Mori, you know, this Machlokas is very interesting. It's not to be limited to Rav and Abaye. This is a machlokas tanoim. It seems to me. I mean, we have the din of how rodeh pat hama. Somebody takes out fresh bread out of the oven, very hot, and therefore very absorptive. He puts it on top of a barrel of wine that's truma. So Rabbi Meir says it's aser. Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter. And Rabbi Yossi says it depends what the bread is made out of. It's made out of wheat flour. That's mutter. His matir b'shalchitim is wheat flour, doesn't absorb very much. If it's barley flour, barley absorbs like crazy. So it's a question, it's a function of how much smell it's going to absorb. Now, l'chora, the machlokas between Rabbi Meir on the one hand and Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand, is that my lav go'aka miflake, the mar savarecha miltahi, umar savarecha v'lav klomi. They're arguing as to whether the smell that's absorbed in it is considered to be the truma or not? No? I mean, there's no way out of this according to Rava. I mean, let's face facts. If somebody's trying to tell me Reich Halav Mils, he cannot excuse anybody saying that bread that's put on top of a barrel of wine is osur. It's nuts. How could it be osur? The most you have over here is the smell of wine in it, so it tastes like wine because of the smell, but you said that's meaningless. So there's obviously at least one Tana that disagrees with you, Rava, correct? There's no way you're going to get out of this. The question is whether Abaye has to agree that somebody disagrees with him. Because according to Abaye, there's an alternative. Abaye can say, well, it's not that Reich is Lav Milsa. It's that in this particular case, maybe somebody else Reich Lav Milsa is not enough Reich. So we're distinguishing between how much Reich there's going to be. So that's our question. L'Rava, according to Rava, there's no way out. Vadai Tanoihi, there's no way that anybody would ask such a thing unless the smell is meaningful. There's at least one sheet of Rebbe Meir who holds the smell is meaningful. He Katina, I believe, follow the sheet of Rebbe Yehuda. But according to Abaye, does Abaye need to accept that Rebbe Yehuda disagrees with him fundamentally, or are we only talking about a case in which the general rule of Reicha being important doesn't apply? I'm looking at Abaye. Says Abaye, what kind of question is this? Of course, everybody agrees with me. Fundamentally, Reicha is Milsa. I mean, you know perfectly well how we explain that whole sugya. I mean, Lav Mi'itmar Allah, was there not a clear commentary on that by Rabba Bar Bar Chana, who was quoted by Shlokish? And he said like this, B'pat chama v'chavit p'tucha divrei hakol asura. If the bread is hot and the barrel is open, note that we didn't say what was the state of the barrel. If the barrel is open, nobody would have disagreed. It's definitely asur. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree fundamentally that Reach is Asr. It's just this particular case. We're talking about a closed barrel. We're over there. There isn't that much smell that's coming out of it. If you're talking about Patsonenet, The bread is just regular bread you bought in the Makola. You put it on top of a closed barrel. I mean, nobody's going to say that there's a smell in that bread. And over there, Diviakol Muteret. The Machlokis over here was where the pot was Chama and the Chavit was Megufa, or vice versa. The pot was Tzonenet, but the Chavit was open. So there's a lot of smell coming out of it. In either of those two cases, there you have a machlokas as to the extent of the smell, but not as to the principle of whether the smell is awesome. Everybody agrees with me that smell is awesome. My case that I'm talking about over here of the smell in the wine barrel, where the guy is inhaling it directly, is certainly kepat chamav chavit ptuchad ami. I mean, this is maximal smell. Now I'm not saying maximal smell. Everybody agrees with me that it's awesome. I don't know what Rava's problem is. And he certainly has to agree that it's at least a machlokas tonight.